Donald Trump has started a major trip across Asia, and this time it's not just about meetings and photo ops. It's about reshaping how America deals with Asia's fastest growing economies. His first stop was Malaysia, where he attended a regional summit with ASEAN countries. The focus there was trade, especially critical minerals and supply chains. You see, the US is trying hard to reduce China's control over things like lithium and rare earths, which are essential for electric vehicles and electronics. I have a video on that. Watch it to understand things more deeply. In Kuala Lumpur, Trump discussed new trade routes and joint ventures that would connect Southeast Asia more directly with the United States, cutting China out of the middle. Cutting China out of the middle means US and Southeast Asian countries are trying to trade and invest directly with each other. Right now, a lot of Southeast Asia's exports like semiconductors, minerals and manufacturing components go through China for assembly, processing or re-export. For example, raw materials from Indonesia or Malaysia often end up in Chinese factories, which then sell the final product to the United States or Europe. Trump's plan discussed in Kuala Lumpur is to create alternate routes and logistic chains, where raw materials and goods can move directly from ASEAN countries to United States or allied partners like Japan and South Korea, skipping China's processing role. When it comes to trade route, even the new maritime shipping lines plus digital systems for paperwork, tracking, etc. are being adopted. It's called Green and Digital Shipping Corridor, remember this term. Digital means with respect to paperwork and tracking, etc. And green means low carbon efficient shipping technology. And the new maritime shipping lines are from Singapore to United States West Coast. For example, Chu Lai Port in Vietnam has started a shipping route to the United States West Coast. Then there is Luzon Corridor in the Philippine Sea that has a direct shipping route to the United States West Coast. After Malaysia, Trump flew to Japan, where he was welcomed with a big ceremony and excitement. Japan's new Prime Minister, Sanae Takaichi, and Trump signed a major agreement on critical minerals, basically setting up a joint venture for mining, refining, and exporting rare earths. Japan even promised a massive investment of around $550 billion into American industries, calling it the beginning of a golden era in Japan-US relations. This part of the trip was not just about economics, it was about showing that America still has powerful friends in Asia, and Japan played that role perfectly, using this visit to strengthen its defense ties and show that it stands firmly with Washington against China's growing dominance. Then came the most crucial leg, South Korea. Trump landed in Gyeongju for the APEC summit, where a series of 10 straight talks were already going on. The US and South Korea are struggling to finalize a $350 billion investment deal. US and South Korea are stuck in negotiating the method, structure and profit-sharing arrangements of the proposed investment package. Trump's visit is meant to push that through, but there is more to it. North Korea has been firing cruise missiles again in honor of his visit to the neighborhood. That gives his trip a sharp security edge. Behind all this, the most anticipated movement is still ahead. Trump's meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The meeting is scheduled to happen this Thursday on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Gyeongju, South Korea. Everyone is watching to see whether the two leaders can finally ease the US-China trade war. If they do, it could completely shift global trade and affect how supply chains move across Asia, including India. From an Indian point of view, this trip matters a lot. If America manages to bring Japan, South Korea and Southeast Asia closer, and also finds a middle ground in easing the US-China trade tension, then that will automatically trigger India's own trade and supply chain strategy to adjust. Deals on critical minerals and regional security could either open new opportunities for India or tighten competitions in areas like electronics, EVs and manufacturing. Let me quickly point out a few hidden impacts that this US-China meeting, if it goes positive, might have an impact on India's exports and imports. Number 1. Critical minerals and rare earth supply chain. As we know, both the United States and China are pushing harder on securing supply of minerals, example rare earths, lithium, battery materials, because these are strategic. If US-China settle the issues, there may be less incentive for other countries, including India, to be safe havens for supply chain shift away from China. In other words, if China is brought back into the trade system fully, the China plus one strategy, which India has been hoping to benefit from, might lose some momentum. Point number 2. Transshipment, manufacturing relocation, and other export-import related rules. Many firms moved their manufacturing out from China into Southeast Asia during earlier US-China trade wars. I'm talking about Vietnam, Thailand. Now, if US and China reduce tariffs and controls, then these companies may reverse their policies or reduce their diversification or simply reintegrate with China more strongly. And that will definitely reduce the flow of new business investment into India that had hoped to replace or supplement China. Now, coming to transshipment. If the United States and China restart their trade war and America raises tariffs on Chinese goods, some Chinese products might start being routed through third countries, for example India, Vietnam or Malaysia, to avoid US tariffs. This is called transshipment. It's when goods made in China are slightly modified or repackaged in another country and then exported to the United States as if they are from that country. Now, if the US trade officials or customs find this happening, they might start scrutinizing imports from India more strictly, even legitimate ones, or withdraw some tariff benefits that Indian exporters currently enjoy. So basically, if tariffs drop, India loses its price advantage because Chinese goods become cheaper again. If tariffs rise, India could face collateral damage, either through stricter checks, accusations of transshipment, or losing trade preferences. Point number 3. Hedging. Hedging means balancing between two big powers, in this case the United States and China, without fully siding with either. So if America and China start cooperating again, India loses the strategic gap it's been using to strengthen ties with the United States and Western allies. Till now, India's advantage has been that Washington sees it as a counterbalance to China. So India gets investment, technology partnerships, and diplomatic support. But if United States and China calm down, the balancing act, which is called hedging, becomes trickier. India will have to decide whether to continue aligning more with the United States, hoping long-term gains outweigh short-term friction with China, or reopen economic cooperation with China to not get left out of regional trade shifts. In short, if US-China ties improve, India's hedge, that is playing both sides, gets smaller. India then needs a new strategy to stay relevant in global supply chains and power politics. So these are some key areas that could shape how India's supply chain moves, all depending on what comes out of the US-China meeting. The world is watching closely because what's happening this week across Asia will quietly shape how global power and business flows in the years ahead. And for India, the impact may lie in the quiet corners of the deal, the rules on manufacturing relocation, minerals supply chain, tech export controls, and which countries become the next tier hubs for global trade flows. India has a chance to step in, but only if it watches these hidden angles carefully and acts fast. I hope you found this video informative. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.